What if everything you believe about the cost of having children is wrong? Not slightly off, but fundamentally backward. While friends agonize over whether they can afford a second child, calculating daycare expenses and college savings, they're solving the wrong equation entirely. The real question isn't whether you can afford more children, it's whether you can afford to miss out on them. This isn't sentimentality. It's mathematics, biology, and decades of research converging on a startling conclusion. The sacrifices we associate with parenting are largely self-inflicted. The dangers we fear are statistical phantoms, and the long-term returns dwarf almost any other life investment. Yet family sizes keep shrinking, driven by fears that don't match reality and standards that science shows don't matter. Picture the modern parent, shuttling between activities, hovering over homework, orchestrating playdates. We've convinced ourselves this intensity is necessary. Then we wonder why parenthood feels like a second job. Since 1965, fathers have more than doubled their childcare hours. Today's working mothers match the childcare time of 1970s stay-at-home mothers. Meanwhile, couple time dropped 25% since 1975. The payoff? Parents report being just one percentage point less happy per child compared to the childless. Yet moment-to-moment tracking reveals childcare ranks above average happiness, notably higher than paid employment or commuting. The burden comes from self-imposed standards. Before doing something for your child, ask, "Do I enjoy it? Does my child enjoy it? Will it matter long-term?" Most expensive activities, rigid schedules, and helicopter supervision fail all three tests. Don't fear outsourcing misery. Your bad move ruins family experiences more than any missed enrichment opportunity. When children were surveyed about parents' work, they rarely wished for more time together. They wanted parents who were less tired and stressed. Every parenting decision carries an unspoken fear. What if I'm ruining my child's future? This anxiety drives exhausting routines and constant vigilance. But your influence is far smaller than you imagine. Twin and adoption studies reveal the truth. Identical twins share all genes, while fraternal twins share half, allowing precise measurement of genetic influence. When strangers raise a child, resemblance to adoptive parents suggests nurture's influence. Resemblance to biological parents suggests nature's. The findings consistently show nature matters far more than nurture. Parents have no measurable impact on adult height, weight, intelligence, or life expectancy. The Minnesota study of twins reared apart found separated identical twins had remarkably similar IQs. Nearly 100% of variation in baseline happiness stems from genetic makeup, not family environment. Studies of Korean adoptees showed an extra year of maternal education yielded just 5 weeks more education for children. Parents do strongly affect which religious label and political party children initially adopt, but have little impact on genuine religious belief or specific issue positions as adults. Short-run effects are larger than long-run effects. The Colorado Adoption Project found toddlers adopted by high IQ parents scored 7 percentage points higher at ages 3 to 4, but two-thirds of this advantage disappeared by age 7, and nothing remained by age 12. This isn't genetic determinism. Identical twins still differ significantly. The core finding, heredity, not upbringing, drives family resemblance. Parenting's short-term effects rarely leave lasting impressions, which means you can relax your standards without harming your child's future. Parents obsess over kidnappings and accidents, yet children, except infants, are America's safest demographic. 7-year-olds are 12 times safer than adults and over 100 times safer than the elderly, with a 99.9837% annual survival rate. Child mortality has plummeted since the 1950s. Infant mortality dropped from 3% to under 0.7%. School-age children became almost 4 times safer through medical advances, safety regulations, and vaccines that eliminated polio, measles, and whooping cough. Disease, once youth's leading killer, is now 70 to 80% less deadly. Violent crime has fallen to 30-year lows, and the chance of a stranger kidnapping a child under 12 is 1 in 1 million annually. Modern parents credit hypervigilance for the safety, but they're wrong. The real reasons, disease reduction, emergency medical response, product safety standards, automotive technology, require no helicopter parenting. In a world where children are 5 times safer than 1950, we've developed collective anxiety disorder, preventing kids from developing the resilience and confidence that appropriate independence provides. Parents fixate on short-term challenges while ignoring long-term benefits. What feels overwhelming at 30 becomes a source of joy at 60. Modern parents have compelling reasons for bigger families. Technology, disposable diapers, washer dryers, microwaves, online shopping makes child rearing far easier than previous generations. We're 3 times richer than in the 1950s, with money to hire help and buy larger homes. Most importantly, non-financial benefits last decades longer due to increased lifespans, with children providing crucial assistance and reducing nursing home risk. Why aren't more couples having larger families? 3 factors: changing values, declining marriage and religion, strict self-imposed parenting rules, and increased foresight leading to fewer unplanned pregnancies. Moderate foresight focuses on short-term costs. True foresight considers lifetime benefits. Costs decrease as children grow independent, while benefits increase as they become interactive companions. The optimal approach is averaging how many children you'd want during different life stages. If your answer at 60 differs from your answer now, find middle ground. The joy of watching adult children gather for holidays, the support they provide, the grandchildren who wouldn't exist, these aren't consolation prizes. They're the main event, lasting far longer than the diaper years. Modern parenting culture treats child rearing as an extreme sport, but science reveals a simpler truth. Relaxed parenting benefits parents without harming children. Expensive enrichment programs and rigid schedules don't improve outcomes, they just exhaust everyone. The most effective strategy for raising children with specific traits isn't intensive parenting, it's choosing the right partner. Genes significantly influence intelligence, personality, health, and physical attributes. Your spouse selection matters far more than daily parenting decisions, which shape childhood experiences but rarely determine adult outcomes. Parenting still matters, just differently. Create a warm, supportive environment centered on emotional connection rather than achievement pressure. Consistent, mild discipline works. Harsh punishment damages relationships without long-term benefits. Your role isn't molding a specific outcome. It's providing a loving foundation while children become themselves. For those considering international adoption, the impact is profound. Adopted children typically gain 12 to 15 IQ points and escape poverty-related health issues. In nations where over 13% of children don't survive past age 5, adoption saves lives while opening vast opportunities. Nearly everyone is glad to be alive, and humans don't just consume, they produce. More people means more innovators and ideas. Population growth makes the world richer, not poorer. Even the child-free benefit from others having children. As family sizes shrink, each additional child contributes proportionally more to supporting Social Security and Medicare. Understanding what's beyond our control spares disappointment and wasted effort. Accepting that children become their own people frees energy for meaningful activities, quality time together, pursuing interests, or welcoming another child. The best time to have children is when you want them. The best number is probably more than you think.